Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session and kind of an eventful week.
What? Say what? Why?
Yeah.
I went back to work.
You went back to
work? I went back to work.
That's what I was thinking about the most.
And it was very eventful.
Okay.
We closed Cedar 3, which going to be...
Which means nothing to me or anyone else listening to this.
Yeah, it's
going to
be some really nice, affordable multifamily townhomes right over by community, by Tri-C.
Okay.
There's a big open field over there, so we're gonna fill probably 3/4 of that field with about 75 affordable housing units, and I'm pretty excited about it. We got some things in there that I wanted from a design aspect to bring up the overall quality of that housing. So,
and that's been pretty much what's been on the nation's mind for the past week.
Wait, is there something else?
You know, it's funny you bring that up. All right, so we'll get into election results. First, I think we should revisit our predictions because I come out looking kind of bad in this in the sense that I gave Ohio way too much fucking credit.
Yeah.
It went hard for Trump.
Yeah.
Ohio is not a swing state anymore.
No.
It's just not.
I
know you said it. Look, I'm owning it. I'm taking the knee, as they say. I thought Ohio would be a battleground state down to the minute, and it was done faster than
the reason why is we live in Cuyahoga
right.
County.
Sure.
Cuyahoga County have very blue, very Democratic.
We drove around Cuyahoga County a bit today.
Well,
and we saw some things. We'll come back to that.
Okay. But for the most part, I mean this area,
yeah,
is heavily Democratic.
I mean,
you look at the
drive
mayor
down my street, and there's Biden signs up and
right.
down the street. I'm an outlier for not having one.
I've been telling you. You know, since early in this process, though, that Ohio's a big state, and once you leave the Cleveland area, and once you get out of, like, the Columbus area, like, around Ohio
right.
State,
right,
and short north and all that stuff, that the rest of the state is very rural, right? And they
yeah.
feel attacked by the progressive agenda, and they don't like all the wokeness. They don't like all the talk about Black Lives Matter. They don't like the talk about the, you know, anything that's not... You know,
standard
that's
good old
not,
days. Whatever.
Yeah, anything that's not, you know, kissing the ground that the police walk on, like these, like they don't like it. And so, is whether they like Trump or not, and there's plenty that don't necessarily like Trump or anything that he brings to the table. What they really don't like is a lot of what they were hearing from Democrats, from the progressive left. I mean, for, whether it's you know, a lot of it
Green
gets
New
put
Deal.
Up, right, the Green New Deal and anything that AOC says and anything that, you know, the girl out of Minnesota. Ilhan Omar. I mean, it's just that's much of this election was either a repudiation of Trump or a repudiation of the progressive left as a whole. Not necessarily, it wasn't necessarily a referendum on Joe Biden. Right. People like, yeah, they kind of tried to make it about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden. And, you know, they're looking, oh, he's so crazy. No, that's not really what it was about. Right. Like, really, it was for people that voted for Trump. It was them saying, we don't like all the stuff that you guys are talking about over there with, you know, I mean, they're like, how much further are we supposed to go with civil rights and blah, 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 blah. You know, you guys are anti-police and you're talking about defunding the police and this is all we know and you guys want all this change and you're so woke and we hate all of that, so we're voting against it. You know, Trump doesn't necessarily check all their boxes, but the, you know, what we saw is that there wasn't a mandate. There wasn't a mandate for Biden or the progressive left and everything that they've been talking about, and there wasn't a mandate for Trump. It just wasn't.
No, I think there was a mandate against Trump in the sense that...
No, you got to understand what the word means.
Turnout was huge on both sides.
Yeah.
Trump brought out huge...
Yes, he did.
...crowds to vote. What I found... So I was saying last week, I think I said it on the show, if not, maybe it was just you and I hanging out talking, but I really wanted this to be a split down the middle for the Republican Party. I wanted them to have to evaluate, do we want to be Trump or do we want to be what we were before? And what the election tells me is they were not enthusiastic enough to get Trump reelected, but boy, they didn't lose much in the Senate. They gained in the House. So the
I think you're kind of reading the tea leaves wrong, right? Like, Trump got elected in 2016 for a reason, right? As much as people talk about, like, this is Trumpism, and it is, right? Like, Trump has his own brand and his own style, but ultimately, Trump got there for a reason. Remember, the Tea Party came to power for a reason.
Sure.
Right? And a lot of it, I mean, like, a lot of people say, oh, it was racism. Yeah, race was a big part of it. And race was a big part of this election, right? People don't want to talk about it because we never want to talk about it. But the fact is, this country has 200, 300, 400 years of really shitty race relations that they refuse to deal with, people refuse to talk about in the open, and that spit and bubble gum that they put over that wound is every day getting peeled off a little bit more and a little bit more. And so as much as people want to say, I'm not racist and this isn't about race and blah, 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 that's what it comes down to. That's this country's biggest sin that it wants to continue to ignore and say it'll just fix itself on its own. And it comes and it rears its head more and more year in and year out, election cycle in and election cycle out. But I think that the Republican Party, as much as they want to say, oh, we want just the days of Reagan and blah, 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 like that was never it. Like, the reason that Trump got elected, Trump didn't create this. Right, he didn't create the...
He played off it.
He didn't create the racism. He didn't create the misogyny. Sure. He didn't create the nationalism. He didn't create any of that. That shit was already there.
Sure.
What he did was he ripped the lid off. And he said Republican, like the Republican leadership, right, the Mitch McConnells and all that stuff, they practice this game of subtlety, right? Well, no, I mean, like, and they fucking told us what the playbook is, right? We're not going to say nigger. We're going to say poor. Right, we're not gonna say, we're not gonna say this. We're gonna say that. We're not gonna be so ridiculous. We're not gonna be outspoken. We're just gonna be subtle about how we approach these things, right? That help us and hurt other people. And so, what Trump did was say, "Why? Who cares?" Right? We're calling it as we see it. We're gonna speak our mind. That's what people want. They love it, and the people embraced it. That's what they wanted. So the idea that the Republican Party was this other mythological thing and that now the Republican Party is divided, it's not. The Republican Party is what it is. Whether you want to call it Trumpism or the New Republican or Neo, whatever, like, it is what it is. And all of this isn't something new, and it's not created. Like, all of this is what got you Trump.
No, agreed. And it... So to me, it was entertaining to watch. And again, it didn't go the way I had hoped, in the sense that I had hoped to see just a meltdown. And
seeing a meltdown.
Well, we'll get to that. I had hoped to see part of the Republican Party fracture. And you're right. This did it shined a light on what was always there, and the people who embraced racist or whatever you want to call it.
Right, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's the overall, like, people are heavily, people, Democrats, progressive left, you know, people that are anti-Trump are going to focus on the racism and the racist aspect of it, right? And then Trump and his party will say, we're not racist, blah, blah, blah. We accept anybody as long as they're willing to pull themselves up by the bootstraps and they have our conservative values, blah, 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 blah. And when you ask them to define what their conservative values are, ultimately, like, Trump doesn't really meet any of them.
Right? Oh, no.
But what they'll stand behind their mission, conservative values, is, you know, pro-life when it comes to abortion, pro-law enforcement, pro-Second Amendment, and freedom of religion, which basically means the freedom to impose Christianity on anyone who's not Christian or doesn't have Christian values, mostly targeted towards gays and Muslims, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially it.
I'd love to sugarcoat what you just said, but I really
but there's
can't.
No, I mean, but there is no sugarcoat.
Actually, I don't want to sugarcoat it. So
And I think that, look, there's something to it because, like, listen, people don't like change. And I think forcing people to change before they're ready or against their will, you can do it. But like I said, the last couple weeks, you can do it, but you need to be prepared for the fight that ensues. And some of this fight may not be on Twitter. Some of this fight may not be in the media. This fight may be an actual fight in the streets. And are some of you prepared? And looking at a lot of the people on the progressive left, they ain't.
Right.
I mean, now listen, a lot of people on the conservative right aren't, I mean, can barely tie their fucking shoes.
I was gonna say that we're even,
so, I mean, it's not
I've got
exactly,
guns, but I can't run 10 feet.
Versus... Right, exactly. I mean, I can't move out of this chair without blowing my hamstring out of the back of my leg. Okay. But at the same time, like, you know, I mean, like, listen, people need to really be prepared. Like, if you want to bring a fight to somebody, you better be prepared to bring a fight at every different level or shut the fuck up and be ready to compromise.
Right. No, sorry. In all seriousness, how concerned are you that there will be violence in the streets tonight and the next couple of days?
Okay. So I was fine. I won't say I was fine. I thought a lot of that was overblown. Initially, I did. I thought a lot of it was overblown until me and you just drove
until
through
20 minutes ago.
Until literally, you and I just drove through an intersection, Lorraine and Rocky River Drive in Cleveland, and there were literally, I don't know, I would say 200 people between Trump supporters and anti-Trump people yelling back and forth, flags waving, you know, middle fingers being thrown, honking bull horns, everything else. Now that corner is known for people just getting drunk and wild. There's a number of bars right there.
I didn't choose this neighborhood by accident.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot there to kind of fuel like the energy that's there, but we also saw, I mean, probably, I don't know, 70 police officers, if not more,
between bikes
and vans and cars, like everything
horses,
else.
There was a horse.
Yeah, there was a horse, and you know how I feel about police horses. There was a lot.
That story can never get overtold. Steve got run over by a police horse when he was in UMass. Great story. Chicken fingers everywhere. Listen to old episodes. Sorry, but
first
that's
of
funny
all,
as shit.
It was chicken Caesar salad and the chicken strips were everywhere. Oh. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, like, so when I saw that, while I don't think that group was, I don't think that group was necessarily going to get violent, but I realized, like, look, this, it doesn't take much with that number of people that close to bars and alcohol for things to get heated. And all of a sudden, the idea of violence became very, very real. Now, do I think it's widespread to the point where National Guard is going to need to be called in? And, you know, no, I don't think so. Because the reality is your progressive protesters, they're not, I mean, everything that we saw, like, this isn't the sort of thing where... I think that the Trump protesters are going out to purposely upstage your Black Lives Matter protest and your Antifa protest. So they're going to try, they are going to do what I've said the progressive left protesters should have been doing. They're going to try to check people and they're going to try to prevent it from turning into an altercation, I believe, right? So they can say, look, we went out in the streets and we protested and we were really upset, but you know what didn't happen? Windows didn't get broken and no one got injured and there were no police, right? Because we do it peacefully. You assholes, riot.
No, there
and
are police, though. We just discussed that. But.
Well, true. But what I'm saying, like, I think their counterpoint will be, when you guys protest, you break windows and you break laws and blah, 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 blah. Even though some of us might be the cause of all that happening, we do it right and you do it wrong. And, oh, by the way, Trump should be president.
Yeah, well, okay.
That's how I feel that this is going to go down.
That's the vibe. Again, we were literally just, you know, we drove right through it less than half an hour ago. And I was initially like, you know, what the fuck? Because I had been at a bar in that neighborhood before and there was a large police presence. And I even said to you, I'm curious about this. Let's drive by this. So we did. And we both went, what the fuck? And then we came here to get into the Cleveland studio, which happens to be at my place. And, oh, that's why they're there. So they must have known that was coming.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, it has changed my thoughts for the rest of my evening, because often I would bounce back to that neighborhood and have a beverage or two. Probably won't.
Don't. No, I'm just saying, I mean, this is all honesty. You're going to have a drink here with me, and then, you know, you might have another one before you go. I really don't want you walking up the street. And that, I mean, because I don't know if you noticed, but, like, you know, as we were coming in, there were more and more, you know, bikers and shit like that coming in. Yeah. And there's a bar called Smedley's right there on Lorraine, which we have... Listen, the guys at Smedley's aren't... they're not powder puff bikers. They're not guys pretending to be bikers, right? Like, I mean, these are some rough, hardcore guys.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they're also mostly in their 50s.
Okay, but well, you want to find out the hard way if a 50-year-old can still go or not?
I'm a year away from it, so...
Okay, I mean, some of those guys, they're hard 50. You
know, they've lived...
You know, remember we watched that raid where the state troopers... Remember?
Oh, shit.
There were all those state troopers there, and we're like, what the fuck is going on? And then that guy came out, and I mean, the Ohio state troopers came in out of nowhere. And I'm like,
that was probably a serious meth bust. We're getting way inside baseball either way, here. But yes, that bar dealt with some hardcore shit.
That bar has some characters, and there were a lot of people coming in to go, whether they were going to that bar or they were being a part of the rep, whatever, they're in that vicinity. Yep. So you need to keep your ass away from that.
I should.
You should.
I should. Well,
because you get a couple cocktails in you and somebody starts running their mouth and...
I'm pretty good at nodding and going, yeah, sure, whatever. Now, whether or not I can hold that up right now in these times, or even if I can hide it well enough, I'm not gonna roll.
my concern actually isn't even you. Actually, isn't someone saying something to you? It's you jumping in to play fucking Captain America to save somebody else. And we both know that that's true.
It could happen.
You are the king of gotta go save the damsel in distress or Captain Save-A-Ho or however you want to call it.
I have been called those things.
But
this is also, though, to your other point, this is kind of an odd neighborhood for that because it's I would have thought traditionally a red neighborhood that has been very blue in terms of yard signs this cycle. And right now, I don't know if it knows what it is. Like you said, it's got that biker bar. That biker bar, probably pretty pro-Trump. It's very heavily police and fireman neighborhood.
Typically, split down the middle.
Historically, you would typically lean them red, but now I don't know because Trump has shit on the police to some degree and then kissed their ass to another. It's a strange time, and this is a strange neighborhood to be in, and I honestly probably will just stay in after we... or finish recording this, and you won't get this published till tomorrow, which time, hopefully,
got it.
You're not getting an update. But anyway, weird thing. I think you should take a different route home. Honestly, I'd go around.
Yeah, no, I'll go back. I'll go back by the airport.
Okay.
There's no reason for me to drive through
that crowd with who knows what the fuck they're doing. Yeah.
Right, because, I mean, it ends like fucking man on fire with me dragging someone down the street.
Because you are also potentially someone who gets involved and speaks their mind. Right. Let's be honest.
Well, I'm not Captain Sabo. I'm just fucking fuck you up.
Yeah. All right. So, other election results. The Senate did not go to the Democrats. It may get to 50-50 with the runoffs in Georgia.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will either. The House did not end up producing a gain for Democrats. In fact...
But they're still in control of it.
They're still in control. It's not a disaster. But that's why this was a weird referendum to me in the sense that... Trump brought out votes, but brought out votes against him that stuck with their party.
Yeah.
And
I mean, like, and, listen,
and
I mean,
record numbers.
Like, here's a perfect example. Like, you had the Lincoln Project, right? The Lincoln Project was anti-Trump. Yes. The Lincoln Project was not pro-Democrat.
Unabashedly anti-Trump, yes.
Right? Like, I mean, they were anti-Trump because they felt that he was bad, but they were, I mean, they had, you know, many of them, Michael Steele being one of them, who's former head of the Republican RNC, Party. Yeah.
Schmidt, the former John McCain's campaign manager.
Yes, anti-Trump, but they were still Republicans, and they were still doing things to help Republicans down ballot.
Yep.
And so... Again, a lot of this was a referendum against Trump, right? And also against a lot of the progressive ideologies. And I think you see that. Now, you know, a lot of people are upset that the Democrats didn't get full control from, you know, the Senate and House and all. And I'm actually okay with it. As much as I can't stand Mitch McConnell, I'm not completely comfortable with a lot of the things that the progressive left... leadership has kind of thrown out there, and I think
so. What aren't you uncomfortable with?
What aren't you uncomfortable
from
with?
The progressive
like
left?
Triple negative. I think.
Sorry, you're right. That was awful. What are you uncomfortable with from the progressive left?
Gun control being at the top of the list.
Okay.
Like, I think the gun control policies between Biden and Harris are garbage. I'm not a big fan of the Green New Deal. I know everybody on the left loves it. I don't love it, and I think it really needs to be, like, just rethought. Like, I like where the direction they're going, but it really needs to be rethought. Like, you're going to hurt a lot of people. You're going to kill entire industries unnecessarily. We can make this transition to a healthier environmental but yet still productive manufacturing country without completely killing people in entire industries, and we can just do it better. And I think we need more input, though, from the people on the right who are directly tied to some of these industries, right? Whether it be oil. Like, you go and talk to Exxon's like, look, we know we can't do oil forever, so we're working on these different technologies. You need to have Exxon involved with something like this. You need to have your a lot of the people down in Texas, like, listen, you guys thrive on oil, so how can we make this transition without killing your industry and without killing your livelihood, but knowing that eventually we need to get here? Right? Like, I need that to be involved here. Otherwise, it's just, you're going to do everything our way. Fuck you. And listen, when you do things that way, you create animosity and you create this divisive tension that only comes back to hurt you when you're not the one in power.
And I think a perfect example of that is the state of West Virginia, which I know very well, having gone to college there. And, you know, West Virginia clung to coal, is still clinging to coal. And if you can't see that coal is not the answer, I don't know what
and
to
coal,
say.
And coal's not the answer, but there's still uses for it. And so how do we transition away from that? But how do we bring something to West Virginia that allows those coal workers to switch from what they're doing to something else? Right?
Agreed. And I mean, it's a lot more complicated than that, because the number of workers that actually are needed with technology advancements made workers not actually get employment. But that was a big Trump thing in 16, was, you know, you coal workers are going to be working your asses off. I'm like, is that really a good thing, though? Because, right. but that state became powerful because of that industry in 18 whatever.
Yeah.
And just never moved on. And for things like the Green New Deal to work, there needs to be bilateral understanding that, okay, you know, pulling natural gas out of the ground, pulling oil out of the ground is necessary now, but not long-term sustainable. And I won't
how,
go...
Right. And so how do we make that transition?
Right.
And, boy, that, and the Green New Deal doesn't...
Together, it would be right. So much better.
And the Green New Deal doesn't have that, you know, that level of cooperation in it. And that's why I don't like it.
It has mandates, which are not solutions.
Right,
I agree.
Exactly. And so, I mean, like, some of the other things, you know, like, we don't have, like, the idea of universal healthcare. It's just like, well, we just need to do universal healthcare. Okay, look, I've recently been dealing with the healthcare industry, health insurance, dealing with the hospital, and I know health insurance isn't the same as healthcare, but listen, let me tell
you,
they are fucking intertwined to the point where, like, my health insurance was literally keeping me from getting something I needed to save my fucking life.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it's literally something, I needed something in the hospital to save my fucking life, and the health insurance company said, you can't get that, but you can get this other thing, right? But even though, like, so you need your doctor to go back and change what he's asking for, then we'll approve it, then you can get it, and it's just like, are you fucking kidding me?
You're literally thinking, I could die because of bureaucracy.
Exactly, right? I mean, like, so that shit needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
here we go.
I mean, I've looked at, listen, private industry isn't the key to everything. Like, they fuck shit up all the time. But handing something over like healthcare and health insurance to the government and say, all right, you guys figure it out, I don't know if I just exactly trust that either. So I need a lot of this meted out, and I need a lot more answers to a lot of fucking questions before we just believe that our government can handle our insurance and our medical health care. I get other countries have done it, but we are a lot fucking bigger. There's a lot more money involved. There are a lot more people involved in this idea that, Sweden and Denmark did it, so we just copy what they do, and bam, look at that. Fuck you. Have you, like, we can't do anything right. I mean, what? You don't trust the government. You don't trust them with your fucking money. You don't trust them with your fucking money. You will not pay your taxes when you're supposed to because you don't trust them to do the accounting right, and yet you think that they're going to take care of your fucking healthcare seamlessly. Get the fuck out of here.
That is not an accurate description.
Bullshit.
I don't pay taxes in advance because I don't want to deal with multiple government interactions.
Why?
Because I'm trusting an accountant to do the right thing with the government and the government to do the right thing, and I just don't want to be left hanging out there.
Okay.
So, okay, I get it. I don't think that's an accurate analogy in the sense that no one is asking your doctor to make a decision based on government input. What we're trying to, what I want to see is
a system. What the fuck did you just say?
I don't want the government to tell my doctor what to do for me. I do want to get private insurance out of healthcare because private insurance is a for-profit industry that makes more money if
Great. So then what's the solution?
I don't have all the answers. I do have...
Okay, fine. Let's just feel it out. Okay, fine. You take private insurance out of it. All right, so if you take private insurance out of it, that's fine. You also crush an entire industry.
True.
Lose a lot of people out of work. Now, they should theoretically be able to transition to working for the government to fill the gaps that will automatically be created and be required to be filled by, you know, because you're going to have to create an entire government structure, right? Or you're going to have to build out Medicare, Medicaid, all that stuff to include. Okay, fine.
Sure. Yeah.
Great. But we've taken the private insurance out. And so now the government, they fill that void. So whether you want them to do it or not, they are the ones controlling what happens with you and your health care because they are your health insurer.
Right, but if they are not the ones who are making the medical decisions for me because the insurance company refused to provide X, which happened to you in this conversation,
but who's to say that the government won't do the same thing?
Well, I want regulations. I want laws that say they can't. That happened to me. I shattered my leg in 1999. Shattered it.
I graduated from high school in 99.
Solid year. Yes. Anyway, I mean, I blew it. I Dak Prescotted my leg. I broke both bones, tore all the ligaments, got a plate and four screws in there. It was not fun.
Derailed your badminton career.
Exactly. My badminton career was done after that. I never once again played competitive badminton. But anyway, they literally did not perform a surgery on me that night. Because I was transitioning jobs, and they couldn't get approval from my insurance company. So I spent 6 days with no bone connecting my foot to my leg because an insurance company didn't want to pay the money because I was out of there. I had paid for Cobra, so it was going to cost them money, but they knew I was not.
Which Cobra just needs to go the fuck away.
It saved my ass and prevented me from getting bankrupt. So it's a complicated situation. And boy,
right, and so I fully agree with you. So, which is why it's so complicated. I just need more from, like, I don't, like, Bernie's plan didn't give me nearly enough to say, yep, totally, this is a great idea.
That's fine. I don't argue with that.
And so we need to make a move away from what we're doing. How that looks.
But to where is something that needs to be defined.
Where needs to be defined and understand that it's probably not going to all happen overnight and there's got to be some transition and we're going to have to kind of cut and paste to get where we ultimately want to go. And listen, whatever it ends up being, more than half of the people are going to be pissed about it and not going to be happy. Right? But which is no different than where we are right now. Right, no different than where we are right now. So, I mean, it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. But I think long term, getting private insurance out of the picture and having better options for people with health, like you should not go bankrupt because you need medical care. You shouldn't. Because
I slid to third base.
Your life should not depend. Should not hang in the balance based off of how much it costs to save your life. Now, is healthcare right? No, I can't say that. Right, because when you say that healthcare is a right, then all of a sudden that means the government is mandated to provide that healthcare for you, and that means there are people that are going to have to be mandated to work in the field. Right, you have to have it, and so it's very dangerous to say healthcare is a right. Right, housing is a right. All right, well, if housing is a right, then there are certain things that have to be done that the government has to do to then therefore provide them. So we can't go as far. That's why you'll never hear me say that X is a right, and like if it's not enumerated already, then it's not a right. Now, if you want to change it, then change it. Then that means you need to change the Constitution. But it also means what comes with that, because you can't just say it's a right and then not do anything about it, right? Like there are certain responsibilities that the government has to take on at that point. I'm not sure that people really, really like play that out. But I think we need a better system than what we have right now. Now, we've talked to our buddy Benjamin Eves down in South Carolina, and he's, you know, his idea of, well, just kind of pay as you go. I don't really like that either. I know it's worked out for him. I don't like that idea either, because, I mean, you're going to get a lot of...
There's so much risk involved in that. I mean, a situation like mine, when I blew up my leg, you know, that the total bill for that was like $40,000, which I did not have at the time.
Right.
And
I mean,
and,
I, like,
and having, you just went through...
Listen, I haven't got the bill for my liver shutting down, but I'm pretty sure it's more than I have in the bank and savings, and I'm doing okay. Right? So, I don't know if I necessarily like the pay-as-you-go and pay with what you got mode, but I mean, I think we need to look at all the different options, figure out what's worked, knowing that it's going to be a Frankenstein sort of monster that is going to piss people off. But I mean, healthcare, like, look, no matter where you go to Denmark, you go to Sweden, you go to the UK, you go to Canada, you will always find someone who had one bad experience. So therefore the entire system is terrible. And, well, I wish I would lived in the US because, you know, like I you hear people in Canada complaining, I had to wait an hour. I went in for a bloody nose and I had to wait an hour. The whole system needs to go. It's like, bitch, come to America.
Right.
Like, come on, come on down then. Come on down. You know, you can leave your comfy your comfy Canadian log cabin and bring your punk ass down here, right? Because you're not if you don't have a job, then you're not getting insured, all right? So go ahead and come down from Canada and tell us how great our medical system is. You want to pay out of pocket? Go ahead. You got $20,000 to pay for X, Y, and Z? All right, go ahead. If that's what you want, then come on down. Right?
Am I being unfair if I say you keep bringing up Denmark because I've brought up Denmark 100 times?
No, it's not just you.
Well, no,
that's anyone who has the argument for universal health care. They point to Denmark. They point to the same countries. And look, I get it. And I don't disagree with you. Yes, take every single piece of information you can from all of those places. But you also have to look what we already have in place. And the idea that we can just take what they have and implement it here and it'll work,
it's way more complicated, it's not a plug and play system.
Agreed. And we have so many issues in place. Like, you already have a massive disparity between who gets, you know, like the people who need healthcare and like, you know, our lower income people and everything like that. Like, there's just a massive, like, and so when you do this, like, there's going to be an influx, if this is successful, where you bring in a universe, like, you're going to have an influx of people who have not been receiving healthcare, who are very unhealthy, that are going to put an immediate strain on this system, no matter what it looks like.
And if those people choose the most expensive option available because they have no other choice, meaning emergency rooms, and I have a friend who's had some health issues recently, and I took her to an emergency room, and literally it ended up being the emergency room in this area that is best for people who are requiring indigent care. And you know this because you and I spoke about it. And so the fact that becomes option one for a big fraction of our populace is fundamentally flawed.
Well, I mean, now listen, I mean,
if that story has more complicated
issues. Yeah, I mean, that story is very complicated, but in terms of, you know, people's number one option, I mean, like, right now, even the private health insurers right now are trying to get people away from going to the emergency room.
Of course.
Right? Like, so that doesn't change. There are literally entire groups of insurance companies that say that will go to different, like, I mean, they'll literally go to people's houses. They go to private practices and they will literally tell people, do not go to the emergency room. It will cost you so much more money, right? Like, even if you're covered by whatever type of insurance, you're still going to get a bill for $250, $500, $1,000. And most of these people don't have $100, more or less,
$250, $500, $1,000. Which means the emergency room loses $400 of those, whatever.
Exactly. So the idea of doing this it has to be well thought out. You have to figure out how to divert those people from just saying, all right, now I'm covered, I'm going straight to the emergency room, to working with a primary care physician, to getting their diabetes supplies, getting their various, you know, like, you know, all those conditions that people have that require constant upkeep, you know, figuring out how to get them in front of their doctor on a consistent, regular basis, how to get them the supplies that they need consistently, how to get them to the various therapies and all that other stuff. Like, there's a lot that has to go into this before I'm just willing to sign off and say, yeah, that's totally what we need. Like, I'm just demanding more from everybody before I decide, like, yeah, this is a good idea.
That's, I hear you, and I think it's fair. And because what you've gone through recently, you've been literally punched in the face with, wow, the system that we have sucks.
Right.
But like, but other systems could be worse.
And the system could absolutely be worse. But what's really fucked up. Now, this is a fucked up thing, and I don't know if I mentioned it to you. So I go into the hospital. I go in the emergency room. They admit me. And the first night I'm there, I'm really, really uncomfortable. Right? Really uncomfortable. Extreme muscle cramps. Like, my body is just, like, my body is shutting down. But I have these really severe muscle cramps because I'm dehydrated, because I'm pissing out a gallon of fluid every 45 minutes, right? So it's probably about 11:30, and I go to the nurse and I'm like, look, I need an IV, right? I need fluids, I need right. electrolytes, and she's like, well, the doctor didn't order that. I'm like, okay, well, can you call him? And she's like, yeah, let me call him. So she calls the doctor. Doctor refuses to give me an IV, offers me Toradol. Do you know what Toradol is? Toradol, it's a pain medication, right? Okay. I mean, it's like, listen, I took Toradol when I was in college playing football and, you know, dislocated my shoulder, popped it back in, and needed to go back on the field and play. So you take something like Toradol, right?
So it would numb you to the fact that your body was getting shut
down.
Well,
that was cortisone. It's just like, Toradol helps.
No, I'm talking about the doctor in this case, like, I'll numb you to the fact that your body's dehydrated.
Right.
Thank
exactly.
you. I won't feel this awful it's thing like, that I know right. is wrong
so,
with me.
Right. And I have to believe that shot of Toradol is way more expensive than a fucking bag of saline solution, right? Like, the cheaper option is just to do the thing that I actually need. And so when I came back and I said, no, I don't want a fucking shot of Toradol, I want an IV, they came back and they said, well, what about Tylenol? And I said, Tylenol doesn't, like, I'm here because my liver is shutting down. So the idea of taking Tylenol seems like a terrible idea. I'm not a fucking doctor, but adding acetaminophen to this mix is probably not what we want to do. Right. And so the nurse is just like, well, I'm like, get him on the phone. Tell him what I just said. And the doctor's response to her was, yeah, he's totally right. Definitely shouldn't take Tylenol. Don't know what to tell him. Would not give me an IV. So I had to walk my ass in no shirt. Mind you, I'm walking around Fairview Hospital. I refused to put a shirt on because fuck it, right? and I was doing that for a reason, because my skin was on fire. So putting a shirt on literally, like, hurt. Like, it was
painful.
So
it wasn't the time we were on vacation in Mexico and just wanted to show off
a
lot. Okay.
Now, mind you, I had lost 20 pounds in basically 10 days. So I looked phenomenal.
You probably looked jacked.
Right? Like, I mean, like, I'm ripped beyond belief, but, like, I'm just
because
also dying.
Because you're also dying, right.
So, but I leave my room, right? And I'm, like, I got no socks on. I got shorts and I got my shoes. And they're like, where are you going? I was like, I have to go find a Gatorade. Like, you won't give me, like, you're not giving me anything. Like, I am cramping nonstop. Like, when I left my room, my arm was locked like this.
People should see.
Right, like my fist was like clenched. Clawed. And my bicep felt like it was rolled up in my arm, and it was, like, extremely painful. Every step I took, like, I was cramping in my ass and my back.
That's a horrible feeling, my God.
Everything, right? Like, so I'm walking.
Severe cramps, that's brutal.
Right, so all I have is my phone, and I'm like, fuck, I didn't grab my wallet. Right. And then, but fortunately, the vending machines in the hospital took Apple Pay.
So,
right?
You can kiss,
so mind you, this is what I did.
Steve Jobs' ass again. Go ahead.
So I bought a Gatorade, drank it. Right. And I'm standing there at the thing. I just down the thing, throw the bottle down the hall, buy another one, drink it, throw the bottle down the hall, get another one. And finally, like, a guy comes out and he's like, bro, you all right? I'm like, no, I'm not fucking all right. And he's like,
that's what it takes to get your attention.
Right.
I will lob empty Gatorade bottles.
Yes. He's like, can I help you? I'm like, yes, I need you to, we need to buy, like, all the Gatorades in this machine, and you have to get me back to my fucking room because I can't walk. And he's like, all right, let me go get a wheelchair. I was like, get a wheelchair and a bag. And he's like, what a bag? What's the bag for? I was like, for the fucking Gatorade. So he comes back with a wheelchair and a bag. I spent probably $30 on Gatorade at this machine.
Which is money well spent under the circumstances.
Right. And so the nurse comes back. She's like, oh my God, I felt so bad. I got you this. And it's like it's a Lunchable with like four grapes, some like gross turkey, and like some carrots and ranch dressing. Right? And she's like, I didn't know what else to do. And I'm like, you can get the fuck out of my room.
You can call the fucking doctor and get me my IV. Which, you know, it's funny because when people come to you with legal issues or people come to me with engineering issues, there's a knee-jerk reaction of like, okay, this is what I do. Trust me. But when it's your body and you know,
right,
like, I can feel cramping. I know right. what this feels I know feels what like.
This is, right? I mean, and so, and listen, it wasn't completely the nurse's fault because she
she's in the middle.
Right, like she's in the middle. She can't give me something unless it's been ordered by the doctor and the doctor is just not really paying attention. Now, ultimately, obviously, it ended up working out. I didn't get an IV until noon the next day because the doctor, you know, the attending doctor comes in to do his rounds and I was literally laying on the floor in a ball, cramped up. I wasn't in tears, but I was irate. Like, that was your chance. If you wanted to fuck with me and hurt me, that was your chance.
Atomic elbow.
You could have came in and kicked me square in the dick and ran out and said, I'm the champion, and there wasn't a damn thing I could have done about it.
Heart's on fire.
But, I mean, and so the doctor's like, what is going on? Blah, blah, blah. Like, and listen, I was in bad shape, and so the doctor... I tell him what's going on. He feels terrible because he wasn't the guy that was on call that night. And he's beside himself. And finally, like, they get me hooked up to an IV and they're pumping me full of fluids and insulin and everything else. And obviously, I made it. But it was a really shitty experience.
Oh, it sounds horrid.
And me and the doctor had a long talk about it. But part of the issue was they treated me different when they didn't know what I did for a living. When they found out what I did for a living, all of a sudden, that I wasn't just some like kind of poor indigent black guy who didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. Like when the doctor was treating me one way, and then he's like, "So what do you do?" And I was just like, "Oh, I'm a lawyer, and I have experience, you know, in personal training. I've done this and blah 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 blah." And he's like, "Oh, okay." So then all of a sudden, we start to have a better conversation about my healthcare and how I should be treated because he now has faith that I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not just, you know, trying to,
right,
to score some drugs. But at no point in time was I asking for narcotics.
That's
I wasn't asking for Percocet. I wasn't asking for anything, but, like, you're getting treated. Like, and the funny thing is, the thing they offer, you offer me fucking Toradol? Like, what is happening right now?
You know,
it was the most ass-backwards thing. I know we're off the rails. It's fine,
but I'm fine with it because, I mean, I've had doctors fight with me over prescribing my lisinopril. I'm like, if you crush up lisinopril and snort it, you get a yellow booger, and that's it. Because there's no street value to lisinopril.
Right.
It's to control my blood pressure to keep you from stroking out, which you fear on a regular basis. You have to deal with me passing out during a show. Jimmy Strokeface has been called out on the show in the past. So yeah, I mean, so we're now, you know, sharing mutual experiences of fucked up things in healthcare. Yours more recent, more serious than mine, but very real thing. And the system needs to get fucking fixed.
Agreed.
And so the actual solution, I don't know all the answers, right, but I know it's not right now.
But what I think, and so we're bringing this all back together. The reason why I'm okay with the reason why I'm okay with the Senate still being controlled, like, I know it's Mitch McConnell, and everybody hates Mitch McConnell except for the state of Kentucky, apparently. But I think it forces people to work together. Like, you cannot just... Like, the Democrats are not going to be able to just go in there and bulldoze with a bad plan. Because, listen, the Democrats have a fucking history of really bad policy that hurts poor and black people. There's no argument. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no, like, we can go through. I will take you year by year for the last 150 years, policy implemented by Democrats that has not only hurt black people, it has fucking killed us. All right? So you guys don't get a fucking pass with me just because I didn't like the other guy. Fuck you. Now I'm holding you extra accountable, and I have no problem with the Senate being in a position to say, fuck off, that's a terrible plan. I also don't trust Mitch McConnell and crew to look out for what's best for me, but at least it's a fucking check on the bullshit that the Democrats have tried in the past, right? Like, I was not a fan of Trump, but by no means is the next 4 years, like, am I going to go quietly into the night just because I didn't like Trump? I will hold these motherfuckers flame to foot every day, every year. I will go to Washington, D.C. and lobby my ass off because I will not let another Democratic-run presidency fuck me and my people over just because we voted for them. And then it's just like, all right, well, now everything we do, fuck you, but you better show up in 4 years. No. I want receipts this time around. I want actual policy, and I want actual results. And if you can't get them, I don't care who runs in 2024. It could be fucking the youngest Trump. It could be Barron Trump, even though he won't be old enough. I am voting for that motherfucker all the way to the fucking White House.
But
they better come correct.
But let me ask this, because one of my biggest beefs with the Obama administration was when they got elected in 2008, they had the House, the Senate, and the White House, and they, finger-quoting, tried to play nice. Yeah. They didn't try to steamroll things through. Now, that bit them in the ass, and I will call that naive.
Yeah.
And when they tried to fix things and finally pushed the Affordable Care Act, what it's called Obamacare, through, it was so watered down and fucked up, and there were tons of just fucked up things in it. And I've got friends who are doctors who said, you know, one friend was a doctor in Charleston, West Virginia at the time that the Affordable Care Act got pushed through, and he said, they're putting requirements on us that we cannot meet.
Yep.
So they are making it impossible for us to be responsible healthcare providers because, yep. And this friend is a really logical guy. He and I went to school together and got chem ed degrees together. He went on to medical school at Marshall University, who I believe beat the shit out of UMass today. Sorry. Just popped in my head. That was a total dick move. I'll own that was a dick move.
Okay.
Anyway. Okay. But he went to med school at Marshall.
Serenity.
That was a shitty thing. I feel bad that I did that. It just happened.
It's fine.
It's really not. But anyway, really smart guy. And he said, look, the ACA is a fucking disaster. So many things got pushed in there. So I'm going to be very curious to see how things play out with Biden trying to restore that
right.
aspect.
I mean, like,
because
he was a big architect of it. I mean, like, so there's a lot that they have on their plate that needs to be addressed, right? They're talking about repealing Trump's tax plan. Look, we had Ben, Existential Ben, on our show, who's our money guy, our money market guy, and he said, yeah, he liked what Trump did with the tax plan. I thought it's kind of a wash, right? I mean, you know, like, it's good for corporate. I don't think it's great for Main Street, Joe and Karen. I think it's a wash at best. And I think it probably hurt more people than it helped, but not enough to say it was a complete disaster. So how is Biden going to address that? What is he going to do? Is he going to completely repeal it? I know he said, oh, I'm only going to tax higher the people who make $400,000 a year. Okay, fine. Yeah, maybe. But I want to see what that actually looks like. I want to see what's in the actual details of his tax plan. And what does that do for the person making $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year? What about the people in between making $100,000 a year? Because if you're making $100,000 a year in Cleveland, you're doing fine. A lot different than a person making $100,000 in San Francisco or New York City.
Right.
Right.
It was completely different.
Right. Because you are.
And on $100,000 in San Francisco or New York, you are gonna struggle. Jeez.
Right. I mean, listen, I've turned down jobs in both places, both New York and California, because they offered me 25% pay bumps, which would have been great, except for the fact that the cost of living is 40% more than it is in Cleveland. Right, so like that number when you first see that dollar,
right. Oh, yeah. That looks great.
$150,000. Yeah, fuck yeah! And then you're just like, wait. It costs $3,000 a month for renting a 2-bedroom apartment. Like,
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like
I lived in Boston.
It's just like, oh, I want a house. It's just like, want $1.5 million for a 3-bedroom house with no yard? Okay.
You're being generous of that.
Right. I mean, it just is fucking crazy.
It's insane.
So, I mean, like, and the reason that matters is if you're taxing me making $100,000 or whatever a year, then yeah, then I can handle it. But if you're taxing me the same way that you're taxing the person making the same money as me, but in California, who's got a hell of a lot more on their plate in terms of how that money is divided, that's not going to work either.
And what's odd is the person in California is getting taxed way more.
And the person in New York, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, they're both they're already getting fucking killed on top of it. So, I mean, like,
this is where your anti-government, and not that you're totally anti-government, but your pushback at me when I'm pro-big government, if you were getting taxed 40% overall, but getting the things you needed all taken care of without a worry, you might go, eh, cool.
Yes.
But when you're getting taxed up the ass and not getting that, and you're watching...
Agreed.
We've been a lot of us throwing our hands up in the air in this conversation.
Because I don't know if... Like, people are just like, oh, well, you're not going to end up paying more because you're already paying premium, so you just take that money for the private insurance and you throw that over into the government. I don't know if what I'm paying for insurance would actually cover the cost, and I don't know if what you pay as an independent contractor or what, you know, someone who pays who works for a private corporation, what they pay,
right.
Does it actually balance out? Does it actually fund the healthcare system that we need? I know Bernie's like, oh, just tax, everybody's like, tax the rich and make them pay for it. I don't know if that's a great way to go, because the rich have a real thing about, you know, paying
more. Avoiding taxes.
Right.
But what are they going to run to? That's always my thing, is when they say, like, if they're going to leave America, fine. Go somewhere else. See how that works out for you.
I guess. I think you're probably right, but I mean, I don't know. I've seen a lot of rich people say, fuck it, I'm going to wherever.
Well, we're seeing rich people leaving California, going to Texas. That's internally the country, but we're seeing a lot of that.
Their next move is Mexico.
And you know what? You've partied in Mexico, and the food's been amazing, according to you. I've got some friends that were just down there.
I've already said, look.
If you had to split the country, would it be Mexico or Canada?
If I had to split the country,
like, I'm leaving America, fuck it, for whatever reason.
Oh, I'm going to Mexico.
It's Mexico without batting an eye, aren't you?
Yeah. Why the fuck would I go to Canada? I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb in Canada.
That's not necessarily true. There's plenty of black people in Canada.
There's not plenty of black people in Canada. There are black people in Canada.
There's no,
don't throw it out there like it's plenty.
Well, fine. There's no people your size. There's no people your size in Mexico.
There's not a lot of people my size any fucking where.
That's also true. That is also true. Brother, we need... I want to give you the final remark.
I mean, I should probably go to Africa, but like, that's fucking far and sketchy. End up being a fucking warlord. All right,
I want to give you... if you want to get your wrap-up moments on the election, because there's a couple other things I really want to talk about, and we're already 50 minutes.
There's so much, and we didn't do a great job of covering it. I think... I do want to do another show where we talk about this a little bit more further in the week, and maybe we'll bring in a special guest...
To talk about the markets, perhaps?
No. We'll talk. Maybe somebody else that just likes to talk politics, but we'll talk about that behind the curtain.
All right.
All in all, I think that this election played out, as much as people want to say the polls were wrong, that's not true. Like, this time, if you were paying attention, the polls were right. We saw, the state poll said it was going to be close. The national polls said it wasn't. And nationally, it wasn't. But again, it's where was it not close? It wasn't close in New York. It wasn't close in California. And it wasn't close in a few other places, which that makes sense, right? Those places are heavily populated with a lot of people, and a lot of them lean left and blue. So the polls told us what to expect, right? And ultimately, when this is all said and done, this race isn't going to be as close as it has felt the last week, right? When all the numbers are tallied, like, it's not going to, it feels like it was just right on the razor's edge. But when the final numbers come in, I think you're going to see this race wasn't as close as I think people felt that it was. And I think the polls told us that, but they didn't nail it exactly the way, like the polls said this, and people are just like, oh, well, the poll's off by this amount. Like, listen, they're polls. It's an inexact science.
Sure.
I think that, again, like I said earlier, Trump increased his base, but he increased his base by maybe 3, 4, 5%, right? Which is still a massive number, yeah. Right? Like, I mean, he did get more black people to turn out for him. He did get more Latinos to turn out for him. He did get a lot of women, right? A lot of white suburban women. They really showed out for him, right? He expanded his reach in middle-aged white men. Yep, he did all that. But what also happened is that Democrats and people who were just, like, tired of his shit, like the people who sat back and said, I'm not voting because Hillary, blah, 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 blah. Those motherfuckers said, okay.
Enough.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. All right. Okay. Okay. We tried this. We've had enough. Right? And they got up and they came out massive numbers. You also had a lot of younger people voting for the first time who are much more sensitive and who are much more woke and who are very passionate about the environment and about LGBT rights, and they're very, like, they're just a more together group. They don't look at the world through the same lens as, you know, the older generations do, and they're very anti-Trump. So you had a lot of those people who came out, like the younger population came out in almost record numbers for them for this election. So when you look at the total number gain for the overall number of people who actually jumped in, you saw massive numbers that we haven't seen in ever.
Ever.
Right?
Yeah.
Ever.
Record-breaking in a lot of ways. Right?
And the problem is that for Trump, is that there were just so many more people who said, fuck you, right? He did expand his base. Like, but if you expand your base by 5%, but the other side expands their base by 10%, you lose. You know, I mean, like, yes, straight Willy Wonka, you lose,
sir.
So
we just spiked so hard.
Yes. But
good day, sir.
Good day, Donald. And listen, that's how it played out. But, you know, a lot of people are celebrating in the streets that voted for Biden, and they're more than welcome. I can't celebrate. Today is not a day of celebration to me. This doesn't make me feel good because we still have a lot of deep-seated, deep-rooted problems that we have yet to address, right? Like, you still have a race issue in this problem, no matter what you say, whether you like it or not, right? You can't just ignore it. It's not just going to go away. You still have a huge disparity in terms of wealth, which you don't. I'm not saying that the rich need to give to the poor, but we need to figure out a way to help lift the poor up, and it's going to take some sacrifice, and it's going to take some people in the middle class being less fucking selfish and focused on themselves, right? Like, that's the only way to move forward. This country is so fucking spoiled and selfish across the board. It's all about me. I got to take care of me and mine. That's the mentality, right? Just because you give some money to a fucking GoFundMe or you donate money to the fucking police union or you give blood, that's great. But you got people that are fucking dying, that are starving, that don't have a chance in hell. And yeah, they made some terrible decisions or their parents made terrible decisions, but those people still need fucking help. So we're just going to leave them? That's the American way. Fuck them. You make bad choices, so fuck you, die. If that's the fucking country I live in, I don't know if I can fucking take it.
No, that's, I mean, you know, first of all, that is the country we live in now, and right. Changing it is.
But there's a lot of people who are willing to change it, but there's a lot of people that are pushing back against that, and we need less people pushing back against it and more people involved in saying, okay, it's okay if this particular group of hard hit people that have had, you know, they're who for generations have been fucked over. It's okay if they get a little leg up, yeah. Right? If they get a fuck it, they get a handout, all right. If it'll help them get to a better place, then fine. I'm okay with it. And those people, they got a lot of fucking work to do internally as well, right? Culturally, a lot of your urban centers, a lot of your black families, like there's a lot of shit that they need to work on that we need to work on as a group and as a people that we have to address. Right, and we can't just sit there and blame everybody else, and we can't just sit there, nobody's helping us. Like, there's a lot of shit we need to do on our own to help advance our own position and be our own advocates and be our own fucking providers. But at the same time, it's okay for two things to be true at once. We need to fix our shit, right? But this country, you fucking owe us. You fucking owe us. I don't give a fuck about when. I don't give a fuck about, oh, slavery, you weren't a slave. Fuck it. I can trace my ancestry back to two places on both sides. One is in Louisiana, one is in Texas, and they're both fucking plantations. So don't give me any shit about what I can and cannot claim, right? Like, you owe my great-great-great-grandfather. You owe my great-great-great-grandmother, right? You fucking owe them. And since I'm the one here, pay me. And you don't need to pay me with money. You need to pay me with helping the people who you fucked over by saying they couldn't go to your schools. They couldn't work at your jobs, right? They couldn't live in your neighborhoods. They couldn't live anywhere. They couldn't get anything. And then you flooded them with fucking drugs. And you ruined the environments that they live in by dumping every leftover piece of shit and all the fucking poison in the world, right? And then isolating them.
Lead being the biggest thing, right?
The lead, mercury, just all sorts of toxic shit in the water from the steel mills and everything else. You fucking poisoned them. And you poisoned the kids. And you didn't trust us. And then you ran experiments on us. Right? And then you fucking just murdered us for years and decades, right? And then it's just like, all right, well, listen, we're over all that. Sorry about it.
We're cool, right?
We're cool, right? It's all good. We're not racist anymore. You guys, knock them dead. Fuck you. Pay me.
You know, I was at a place before we met up tonight, and one guy dropped an end, but he was like, next thing you're telling me, there was a nigger president. And I just went, I got to get out of this place. I can't listen to you right now.
We did have one.
We did.
Right? I mean, and now we got a vice president one. So. Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry. I mean, like,
And he was actually, that was actually the point he was making, was like, oh, you're going to tell me things haven't changed and whatever. He was trying to be funny, and I was like, dude, I just can't listen to you right now. 60-year-old white guy with a beard.
And this is what I'll
chest.
Say. Look. And I'll make this argument all the time. Things have changed. Things have gotten a lot better. You sure. Look at the position that I'm in. You look at a lot of the positions. There have been a lot of people, a lot of black people who have done very well for themselves. We're not all poor. We're not all criminals. But there are a lot of deep-seated, deep-rooted issues that still cause problems, whether it's for me or for people in you know, lower-income, destitute places, right? And like, those are issues, like, if we don't want to take responsibility for it, then we need to fucking own it. And just say it and stop dangling this fucking carrot out there and just say, all right, fine. You guys are completely on your own, 100%. And maybe, you know, I can make an argument that, and I've said this before, I can make an argument that the civil rights movement fucked up when they were fighting for integration. I am willing to make the argument that we fucked up fighting for integration. What we should have fought for was leave us the fuck alone, isolate us to a fucking state. To want, like, give us land, just let us be over here, leave us completely the fuck alone, we'll leave you alone, and let whatever happens happen naturally.
Now, right? That's a whole different conversation, but isn't that where separate but equal fucked up? Because
it was never separate, equal.
Right.
It was never equal. Right. So fine. I don't even want equal. Just leave me alone. Because there are places we saw it, whether it was in Tulsa or it was down in Florida, in South Carolina, we saw these places when you left black people alone, they were vibrant and industrial and hardworking people that built, that did everything that every other group in this country has done, whether it's Italians or Jews or Irish or whatever, sure. When you left us alone. Right, but you could never fucking leave us alone. You never fucking left us alone. And when we tried to do something, you burned it literally to the ground every time. So we fucked up by asking to be a part of the fucking group. We should have just fought a war just to be on our own.
But we didn't,
so now we're here. So now we gotta try to fix it.
And this is a conversation that I'm happy to have, and we're doing our best with now. But this should literally be an entire separate show.
Fair. Sorry.
No, it's totally cool, but there's a couple of things that I still want to talk about. We're over an hour now, and four more states have legalized weed. And by the way, the drug war is a big part of what you just talked about.
Yep.
Because the drug war has been used to oppress minorities probably more than anything else.
That wasn't oppression. They fucking hunted us.
Okay.
I mean, they used it to fucking hunt us for fucking 40 years.
40, yeah. You know, 60
I mean,
years
but
now.
But the point is, you're right. Four more states legalized weed, but you know how I feel about this.
Yes.
Call me when it's on the president's desk, whether it's Trump, whether it's Biden, whether it's Harris, whether it's Trump Jr., right? Call me when it's on his desk and he's signing it. Like, this is important. I think the more states that legalize it, obviously it puts more pressure on to do something about it. And the biggest issue is that weed money is still illegal money.
Yeah.
Right? And so until it's no longer a cash-only business, and until it's like people don't have to worry about being caught up in a RICO case for selling weed in a store with a business license, then... This is all good and great, but I need call me when it gets on the president's desk.
New Jersey, South Dakota, Arizona, and
Oh, God. I forget the other state that made weed recreationally legal. But Oregon went next level. Oregon just said, fuck it, we're decriminalizing drugs, which, by the way, I am 100% for. Decriminalizing is not legalizing. I get so fucking annoyed with people when they're like, you want to make drugs legal? That's not what I fucking said. Speeding isn't legal. Speeding isn't criminal unless you're doing it at an irrational way. And look, drug abuse in this country is a huge problem. Drug abuse in this world is a huge problem.
Drug abuse across the world is a problem.
And
what we know is that criminalizing it, sending people to jail over it isn't fixing anything.
In fact, it's making things a whole fucking lot worse. And, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, me going to the Denmark model or whatever. I don't want to necessarily go to the Netherlands model or the Portugal model, who have decriminalized drugs for a decade. They still got problems. They've got people who have been in and out of rehab facilities for decades. And they, if you want to point to that and say, well, you know, this person's been in rehab 12 times and they're still a drug addict, that's a problem. I'm not dismissing that. However, that same person being in jail isn't making things better
all. Listen, I don't think the government should be in the problem or should be in the business of trying to solve addiction. We haven't been able to solve addiction for the entire existence of man.
True.
As long as we've been around, we've been looking for things to alter our minds, and people have abused it.
Whether it's booze
or alcohol or cocaine or weed or meth or whatever. Right? Like, so the idea that governments can fix addiction, you can't. But you could try to make it less damaging to entire demographics by having the resources that people need to help try to kick their issues and to help try to, you go and you try and look at some of the root causes of addiction and try to address those. But we don't need to be in the business of trying to fix addiction. We also don't need to be in the business of rounding people up
and putting them in cages
and throwing them in cages because of their own personal choices to alter their state of mind. Now, listen, you do something criminal then that's different.
Right. If I rob a bank to pay for my heroin addiction, arrest me for robbing a
bank. Throw me to jail,
Not for having a heroin addiction.
Right, but if you stop me walking down the street and then you frisk me and you pull something out of my pocket, weed or a needle or whatever, then you shouldn't be sending me to jail.
Right.
If you want to take it and flush it down the toilet or put it in the evidence locker, you know, with air quotes or whatever, that's one thing. But then giving a person a criminal record, which now basically fucks them for life, doesn't seem to be a sensible way of fixing things. And we have enough data to say that doesn't work.
That doesn't work. And so I'm happy to see Oregon do this because Oregon, to me, is like maybe the most liberal state in America. So if they can find a way to improve their addiction problem, we need to keep an eye on that and follow suit if they get their shit right.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a step, Steve.
It's a step.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with it either way. I mean, I think it's just something you have to be careful, you have to watch for. You know, I mean, because there's
loosey-goosey, everyone do heroin is not my answer.
Yeah,
and I hate getting that pinned on me when I say decriminalize. I'm like, I'm not saying legalize. I'm not saying make it cool. I'm just saying that putting people in jail for addiction issues has not fixed anything since ever.
Right.
And so, all right, man, two quick things I want to talk about if you're game. One of them is Steve Bannon got kicked off Twitter for saying Fauci and Michael Ray should have their head on pikes.
Dude, Steve Bannon, I mean, he's such a fucking cartoon caricature.
I saw a picture the other day. He looked like...
He always looks, which is terrible. Like, he doesn't look any worse. You can't look any worse. I mean, just unshaven, unkempt. He looks like he's constantly hungover, whether he is or not. Because I heard somewhere that he quit drinking, but then I also... you know, heard someone telling a story of, you know, him double fisting whiskey. So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
And I'm not judging him because, hey, if he's got a, you know, alcohol issue, then I'm the last person to judge. But all I'm saying is the guy just looks terrible. And so, that being said, this isn't a surprise, right? I mean, his whole claim to fame, like the thing that really kind of pushed him into the national line of sight was him taking control of Trump's campaign in 2016.
Sure.
Which, I mean, you can make an argument that if Steve Bannon doesn't jump on board with Trump, Trump doesn't get elected.
You could definitely make that argument.
I am more than willing to make that argument because Breitbart, like Steve Bannon would, like you would listen to these interviews. Trump would say all the weird, off the cuff, dumb shit, and Bannon would say, "Oh, what you really mean to say is blah 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 blah, and this is less harsh, and this makes it sound better," and really formed, one of those relationships like that Trump has with Hannity and blah 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 blah. But Hannity's not an on the ground guy, where Steve Bannon was more than willing to use a network like Breitbart, which didn't have nearly the same footing that a Fox News has, right? And he had way more control over the entire network. Sure. So he was able to use it to manipulate and amplify Trump's message and really get it out there to the target audience. So I will contend that, like, while Steve Bannon is a little crazy, I think he's crazy like a fox, and I don't know what this is all about. This is weird. Right, that he's calling for their heads. But I don't think he really gives a fuck. And you know why he doesn't give a fuck about what happened on Twitter? Because he's going to go to Parler, which is the conservative Twitter alternative. And he's going to just say all the same shit on Parler. And they're gonna bend over and kiss his ring. And he'll have the same audience. It won't be nearly as broad. But, I mean, Parler is something that you go on there. It's, like I said, it's a conservative Twitter, basically. And that's where all the conservatives are running to. Like, you'll look on Twitter and they say, get off Twitter and go to Parler. That's where, you know, free speech can live and blah, blah, blah.
Conservapedia popped up after Wikipedia started showing up truth. They're like, we need something
to spin things our way. Right. It's the Trump alternative to Twitter. That's where he will go and do his thing. And I'm not 100% sure he didn't do this intentionally. Right.
I wouldn't say it.
Get yourself kicked off Twitter. Go to Parler. Grab a bunch of people. I'm sure he's probably got some sort of money invested in Parler. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the move.
I don't dismiss that at all because he's a smart guy.
I mean, he was Goldman Sachs.
He's a scumbag.
He made money, and I mean, he made money off the show Seinfeld. You know, I mean, he worked Goldman Sachs. He's a Harvard guy. So Steve Bannon's no dummy.
Right.
And I think that this was a play just to shine a light on, see, look how repressive Twitter is.
Right.
They're censoring me.
Right.
Come to Parler where that won't happen. And I have some sort of a stake in it.
I don't dismiss any of that. And we should wrap this up. But I have to tell you a funny story that you know part of. But so last week, this week, I apologize. I've been a fucking mess and I acknowledge that. But you and I hung out. You were not drinking, I was, and you went to the bathroom in a place that has a basement bathroom, so you had disappeared for a minute or so.
I had to drain my willy.
You had to drain your willy, which is your right to do. But anyway, it was so funny because literally you went to the bathroom and Boys in the Hood by NWA came on Touch Tunes. And you were walking out, you'd paid your check and you were walking out, and you jokingly whispered to me, like, the black guy's leaving, I guess it's okay for white guys to play NWA. And I didn't know for sure that you hadn't played it, which I know you didn't. No, I know now that. And it was so funny because the kid that did play that, who's a good kid, I told him what you said, and he got so defensive. It was hilarious. I'm like, yeah, he just said, you know, the black guy's living, it's okay to play the song. I'm like, no, that's not fair. That's not true. If I had known I didn't even know he was gone. And I'm like, Jeremy, he's fucking joking. Relax.
Seriously, man. Come on.
It's so funny. Come
on. You act like there's a race problem in this country. Right, relax, buddy.
There may be a race problem, but it's not because of a 1989 song talking about my 6'4". Yes, I did that. Yes, I did that. I am an awful person, which is a perfect way to wrap this up, unless you got a closing remark.
No, I'm good, man.
We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you for listening. Joe Biden will become the 46th president, and we will see a whole bunch of crazy shit happen between now and that becoming official.
I don't know if that's true.
All right, well, we'll see.
Keep an eye out, though.
It's going to be interesting. All right, we're out.